Making order out of chaos, that is the Word of God. Understanding that Word that we might find encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, that's this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will take us back to God's Word that we might find that hope, that strength, that encouragement for our daily walks in Christ. Won't you join us? For today's edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, welcome to Abounding Grace again, a ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, joined again with Pastor Kevin Eflin of the Bellingham United Reformed Church. And we're again taking your question and answers. You may ask us any question, and we will hopefully get to your answer on the radio. You may access that through our website at www.lindenurc.com. The email address to that is aboundinggrace@lindenurc.com. Again, that's aboundinggrace@lindenurc.com. Email us and we will take your questions. Well, last week, if you remember, we were discussing corporate worship. We're discussing about what it means to worship God in spirit and in truth, and what our services should look like, those sort of things. We're going to continue that discussion since the questions we have before us, there were many we didn't get to last week. This week we're going to start a little bit, we'll start with the question somebody asked about the size of the church. What should the size of the church be, a church? Is there a point at which it gets too big? And I think to start that question, I'll turn it over to Kevin here. You know, there's this mentality out there today that the bigger the church, the better. I've heard people boast, wow, that church has 5,000 people. And I'm often wondering, is that really a healthy advancement in the life of the church? How is their oversight over people's lives? What draws people so that people would want a 5,000-member church? Is that healthy, especially when Jesus said that the truth would not be popular? All these questions race through my mind when I look at and answer a question like that. But I think, number one, my major concern with how is their oversight? The Bible and God commissions elders and deacons to oversee people's lives, to visit them in their homes, to see if they are staying pure in doctrine and in life. And if those things aren't being done, is the purity of a church being maintained? Is there anything you want to add to that, Kevin?
Well, you asked the question, how big should a church be? And simplistic answer would be however large God wants it to be.
No.
God is sovereign, and God will certainly determine the size of a church. But a large church does not mean necessarily it's being blessed of the Lord. A small church does not necessarily mean it's being blessed of the Lord. I think people in small churches tend to think, well, we're small, and that must mean we're more spiritual and more committed to truth. That's not always the case. I think that the desire to see a church grow is good. We want to see more people come to know Christ. We want people fed through the ministry of the church. But at the same time, how are we going about seeking the growth of the church? Are we doing it through the means that God has ordained? Plus, the fact Jesus said, I will build my church, and we're not to compete with him on that. Anybody can draw a crowd. John MacArthur said one time that he could go down to the beach and put a robe on and call himself Moses, and within 2 hours, he'd probably have 100 people following him. anybody can draw a crowd. But the point is that we want to do things the way God has told us to do them in his word, through mainly the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments.
Right. Very good answer. And yeah, it's not that we're saying, and I was saying a minute ago, that we don't want the church to grow. That is the goal. We want souls to be grafted in from all over the world and believe in Jesus Christ. But there is a point at which the local church should think about separating out if one church is too big and doing church plants. And I think that's a healthy move for a church when you think about it, so that the purity of its life and its doctrine would be maintained. Okay.
Just let me say one more thing.
Yeah.
I think you've seen that. Well, you weren't here at the time, but you've seen that in the life of this church. This church got to a point where they said, you know what, let's look outside of the town of Linden and let's plant a URC in Bellingham. And so they sent about 35, 40 of us out. We planted a church. And the Lord has added more people to this church to take the place of those people who left. And I think that's a great point, that churches at a certain point should say, you know what, let's look outside of our own building here, and let's think about planting a church where there is no faithful church.
Right. Yeah, and I, what is that point? I don't know. I think the elders have to ask the question, are they able to faithfully continue to shepherd the flock with the souls and the number that they have been given? If they're finding that the task is becoming too overwhelming, and because of the large size of the church, we wouldn't want to keep boasting in the number. We want to say, no, let's think about planning elsewhere. So anyways, good question. Other question that came before us, there's this notion out there about an every member ministry. We were passing by, Kevin and I have talked about this many times, and we saw a particular sign that said minister, and it said everyone's a minister. Is that true? And the question asks, how are we to approach ministry today when it seems like the special offices that God has ordained are being undermined with this approach where anybody and everyone is sort of a minister and can take ministry into his own hand? And I'm just going to start and break open that question a little bit by saying that God has appointed special offices in the church. We believe there's three, that he has set apart the minister of the word to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has set apart elders and deacons for the specific task of exercising oversight and love and beneficence and care over the body. But when everyone begins to take that role and those offices become clouded, it begins to confuse the work that God has set apart specific people to do. Now, that doesn't mean that all of us do not have certain and many functions in the life of the church to exercise our gifts, but it does mean that those who are set apart to do certain tasks shouldn't be undermined when everyone else takes that same name. So, I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
I just think what you said was excellent. I think the one thing that does, too, is it reminds you and I and other ministers of the weight of our office, as well as the elders and the deacons of the church, that it's not everybody doing the exact same task, but it's the office bearers, the pastor and the elders and the deacons, doing those things that God has appointed them and called them to do, and it reminds us of the weighty character of our own office.
Yes, and that takes us to the next question. I'll let you pick up with this one. That being said, if God has set apart certain men to do certain things, and one of those tasks being specifically the minister of the word, what do you believe the role of a preacher should be today in our society when there's so many approaches to pastoral ministry?
Well, you're right. There are a lot of approaches to a pastoral ministry, and you can probably go to the local Christian bookstore and find a number of books that tell a minister what he's supposed to do, many of which are quite unbiblical. I think that we have this view today that the pastor is A, the savior of the youth, B, he is the coach to help people be all that they can be, C, he is the vision setter for the church, when all of those things miss the biblical description of a shepherd. And I think even our own Federation of Churches, our church order lays out those things that we as ministers should be focused upon, the first one being prayer, the second one being preaching, also shepherding God's people, also administering the sacraments. Those are the things that Scripture lays out that we are called to do, not be, again, savior of the youth or the CEO of the corporation. We are shepherds.
You said something there I found very interesting, this vision setter or goal setter. And it seems to me, at least what I've noticed, is there's been an approach to pastoral ministry where the pastor sort of takes on the CEO role of the whole thing. It becomes like a large corporation, whether he's involved in the business ventures of the church, all sorts of things like that. And he's sort of set at the top to be the vision setter. And I often hear all these things that we need to set visions for the church. We have to spark visions and what we should set these goals for what people should be doing in ministry. And the pastor then becomes the grand goal setter. That, in my opinion, and I look at the scriptures, that is a contrary view to what the Bible teaches. The Bible gives us our vision. It gives us our goal for ministry. I don't think there's anything better than Ephesians chapter 4. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is a beautiful vision. Why are we looking beyond that? The minister's task is to preach the word so that would occur. Mm-hmm. And that is our goal. And that is exactly what God says our vision should be. So anyways, good approach to that. You want to add something?
No,
to that?
I think that's
okay.
Good. Yeah.
Kevin, as we our time runs out so quickly here. Looking at this question, I think this is a very important one. When is it time to leave a church? And you know, people today will leave for various reasons. And many times it's very displeasing to the Lord that people will simply walk away. What are the biblical grounds for leaving a church?
Well, I think first of all that people have a tendency in our day and age, it's like people treat their marriages. At the first sign of trouble, they leave. First sign of something they don't like, they leave. I think that too many people are leaving churches for the wrong reasons. I think when the marks of the true church are not present, the preaching of the gospel, the administration of the sacraments, the practice of church discipline, when those things are not there, then we would have to consider going to a faithful church. But simply because I don't like the way the sanctuary is decorated, or I don't like a certain song that is chosen, I don't think that those are at all good reasons to leave. And I think people who leave for inappropriate, unbiblical reasons are very troubling to a local church and extremely troubling to the Lord and to His cause in His church on this earth.
Yeah, the Lord has placed people in a particular congregation, and if that's a faithful church, you don't have the right just to walk away. And this is becoming increasingly common today, where whether a church be placing somebody under discipline or anything, where they will just scoot out to another church, where that church will throw open their arms and welcome them. That church should be asking, why did you leave another church? Instead of trying for church growth purposes just to grab everyone and then in the name of love say, here, our arms are open to you. That is very dishonoring to the Lord, and the Lord will hold those churches accountable. We have to question, when anyone comes to us, first off, why are you here? If they were in a church that is not demonstrating, like Kevin said, the true marks of a church, the preaching of the gospel, the right administration of the sacraments, and a zeal to keep the church pure in its doctrine and life through discipline, if those things are missing, then we would say, yeah, you have the obligation to find a church where those things. But little petty things that we see so much today, it is very disturbing to see and very much offends our Lord, who calls us to be committed, to work through our differences, to be servants of one another, not just simply to walk away. So those are very important things to think about in our day. You have anything you want to
add? I think one thing that's very troubling, Chris, is that this pattern of people leaving over any and every reason shows that they don't have a servant's heart. It shows a tremendous amount of pride and arrogance, and it shows an attitude of, I want to be served. Jesus did not come to be served. He came to serve and to give his life. And how dare we not model the humility and the selflessness of Christ, as Philippians 2 talks about too. How dare we think that we are in a church to be served? We are there to serve, and to show this proud, prideful arrogance, that's troubling.
Yeah. Well, these are very important questions, and again, we're trying to seek through biblically how we should handle things and what the Word of God says when it comes to being a part of His church. We thank you for joining us today. Kevin, your worship service, Pastor Kevin Eflint, the Bellingham United Reformed Church, is at
10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. on Sunday.
We'd love to have you for worship. Until another edition of Abounding Grace, have a wonderful weekend.
Well, we need to close out our broadcast here, but we do look forward to joining you next time we get together as we continue our look at God's Word, that we might grow in Christ and be mutually encouraged. This has been Abounding Grace, the ministry extension of United Reformed Church of Linden, with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Copies of what you hear on Abounding Grace are available. You need only call or write to us for the details. Our phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about United Reformed Church of Linden, Abounding Grace, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities here at the church, stop by our website, lindenurc.com. Again, lindenurc.com. If you're joining us for worship, we meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Sundays at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. Directions are available at lindenurc.com or by calling 360-318-0429. We do thank you for joining us and trust we'll see you again next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.